Thank you. Thank you. So I was walking in, and I ran into Pastor Brandon, and he said, I can see you are excited. And I said, yeah. He said, that's an understatement. So I'm really, really excited to teach from the Bible this morning. Merry Christmas. Cool. Turn to your friend, left or right, say Merry Christmas. Yeah, that's great. That's cool. So throughout the message today will be a bit more interactive, and so hopefully you can respond back to me or respond back to your friend. So my message is simple. When John told me I'll be teaching at this one day, this one alone service, he said, just anything, and just immediately I had a thought, reflect and dream. And so that will be what we talk about today, to reflect and to dream. Life can be a lot of ups and downs. Like Pastor Brandon, I turned 50 this year, so I've made it, right? I've made it. And I look back on my 50 years, I've had lots of incredible moments of great joy, of wonderful experiences, but then I've also had times of great sorrows, times of great disappointments, sometimes great failures. And so life can be like that, where on one moment you are really up and almost you're on top of the world, and then on the other moment, it's almost as if it's the end of the world. And so life can be like that. But hopefully through the message this morning to encourage us that regardless of whether things are great or wonderful or not, that we can still have a sense of understanding who we are in Christ. And that would hopefully inform our ability to be able to draw near to him. And so John has prayed for me, so I won't pray, thank you. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, I'll just get right into it. Luke 10, 18 to 24. So this text I've been chewing on for a bit. A few weeks ago at soccer practice, so as part of our soccer team, we've been reading through the book of Luke, and we got through Luke 10, and what I'm about to share today, just part of it just hit me pretty hard. And so hopefully I'll use that to encourage you in terms of your reflection part of the message, to be able to reflect in a way that would that God will want you to. So Luke 10 from 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan. So this is Jesus speaking. Just to set the scene, he had sent out the 72, or 70, as some versions said. He sent them out two by two into the community all over the world, all over the place. And so they had come back with all of these wonderful reports of different things that Jesus has done through them, right? Because he sent them in his name, so they went in the name of Jesus. And so they came back with all of these wonderful reports. And so this is some of this, a lot of this is Jesus' response to them. So let me pick it up from 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even Father, so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And so, again, these disciples had returned, coming back with lots of wonderful things that Jesus has done through them. And in verse 18, he said, "I see Satan fall like lightning." This is one of those that many of the guys who look at this, look at it maybe two aspects. One is probably the original fall of Satan, right, when he was cast out of heaven. The other bit, which I really like, is the sense that as we go and we do God's work, and Jesus sets people free, he breaks the hold and the power of the evil one, right? And so, if you believe it or not, there are two things that control all of us, right? Two things that are really, really against God, sin and the evil one. And the more that God does his work through you and I, and as he sets people free, the power of Satan, the power of the evil one is literally broken in those lives. And so, kind of the two ways by which you can look at those things. And then 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you," which is wonderful, right? Which is really, really wonderful. I grew up in Ghana, and in my family, I know the work of the evil one. In the West, it's somewhat a little difficult to see Satan. He's figured out a ways to hide himself, that you can run into the average Christian and they will think that Satan does not exist, which is silly, really, right? But where I grew up from, you can see the difference between dark and light. And so it's always encouraging when Jesus said to you and I have given you power, I've given you authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, and over every power of the evil one, and they will by no means hurt you. And as a culture, the more we're moving away from God in the public space, you see all sorts of things. You see the devil being able to come more alive in a lot of those things. But even then, it's always encouraging to know that God is giving us power over those things. Then I'm getting to where I want to get to, verse 21. Of verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this," right? Do not rejoice in what? Right. Here are these guys who have gone out and God has done amazing things. He healed the sick. He set people free from demonic oppression. He's brought people to know Jesus. These are things we celebrate, right? These are things that are wonderful. But then Jesus said, maybe you're getting it wrong. Do not rejoice, though you have to rejoice, but he said rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is wonderful, right? Which is wonderful, which is wonderful. So even as we reflect on this past year as a church, right, as individuals, as families, God has done a lot of wonderful things for us, right? Wonderful, wonderful things. But he said, do not rejoice because of those things. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That trumps it all, right? That's more than anything else you can give in this world. I mean, we just celebrated Christmas. Jesus came so that our names will be written in the book of life, right? So we can get to know God. Again, that's really, really wonderful. So my second thing I want to say, can you turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice? That's good, right? You guys are alive. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, right? So he wants us to rejoice, not because we've done all of these things. And many times that's the challenge for all of us, right? You run into guys who have conquered the mountain, and then the next moment, it's almost as if they've achieved nothing. Because those types of rejoicing are fairly temporary. They are circumstantial. They are based on our performance, right? They are based on what you can do. But the rejoicing that Jesus is talking about is what God can do for us. It's what God has done for us. So as long as we can hold both of those in decent tension, I bet you it doesn't matter whether you are a failure or you've just won a million lottery, right? Maybe don't do that, right? If you don't do that. It doesn't matter, right? Whether you accomplish great things or not. We rejoice because the ultimate is that someday we will be with Jesus, that we'll get to see him. And then 21, he said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Again, really, really wonderful. Some really wonderful things. Daniel, thank you for those songs. What was so beautiful is Daniel and I, we never talked, right? We've not talked about what songs to sing. But a lot of the songs he sings get back to the message. So that's wonderful. Knowing that we do have a Father. We do have a Father, and Jesus rejoiced in spirit. So that's great. So I'm getting to where I do want to be. All these things have been delivered to me by my Father. 22, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. He turned to his disciples and said privately, so please turn to somebody privately, blessed are the eyes that see the things you see, right? So turn to somebody and tell them you are blessed. I'll say it a bit louder. You are blessed. So I remember I have a very dear friend. We'll get together Monday mornings to pray. And every time you ask him, oh, how are you? And he will so giggle, I'm blessed by Jesus. I'm blessed by Jesus. And now chuckle and say, you know, not too bad, right? Not too bad. Not too bad. But today, my friend, I'm blessed by Jesus too, right? So Jesus turned to them and said, you are blessed, right? So remember, rejoice. You are blessed. Why are they blessed? That's the bit that when we were having this discussion as part of our soccer practice, that really hit me pretty hard. That you are blessed. And he said to them privately that you've seen some marvelous things that God has done, right? You've seen some things that are incredible. I mean, for us as a church, I can tell you lots of churches are dying. For us, it's such a privilege that every Sunday, our people are getting saved. This past, was that Wednesday night? Wednesday night, we had three people stand up to receive Jesus, right? And it's become such a routine thing for us, right? If we're not careful, it can become so routine that we take it for granted. And Jesus said, you are blessed to see these things. You are blessed to see people transform, where the power of alcohol is broken on their lives, where their marriages are restored, where God translates them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. You are blessed to see these things. So blessed to see these things. One that surprises me a lot is the past few years, I mean, we'll get together, we'll pray, God, visit our land, visit our nation, be merciful to us. Because in the past few years, it almost seemed as if there's been a shift in our culture, right? There's been a shift where many young men in particular are trying to find meaning through Jesus, meaning through what it means to know God and to live for him. It's pretty remarkable. Right, it's pretty remarkable. You can clap for that. It's pretty remarkable when you listen to the stories of what God is doing around the world. Every month, our guys will put up a people group to pray for. I mean, those things are wonderful to pray for, right? And you would think that, oh, I don't have any influence. It goes nowhere. That is the lie of the evil one. If you hear the stories of what God is doing around the world, in the Middle East, right, North Africa, even in Europe, right, even in Europe, and Iran and Iraq, and in some of these places that seem so dark and so hostile to the gospel, our God is at work, right? Our God is at work, and you can look at those. For us, it's a privilege. It's such a wonderful privilege that you can see that and say, Lord, thank you that I'm blessed to see these things. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to see that you are still at work, that you are not a weak God. Sometimes when we hear of the dangers and troubles, it makes us seem as if our God is weak and impotent, and he's not. You can see that even in some of the most difficult places that God is at work, that he's moving and drawing and calling people to himself, and in his great mercy that he's awakening people. One more example that really challenges me, because sometimes I can go from so excited and almost despotic when it comes to God's work in the lives of people. You remember in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, how many were there? 120, right? 120. And within a few years of 120, they became hundreds of thousands. And in Acts 16, when Paul had that dream that come to Macedonia, the gospel came to Europe. And it's never been the same. It's never been the same. Again, I grew up in Ghana in the 80s. The church was, not too bad. And then in the 90s and 2000, it's almost as an explosion. Somebody described it as if God set a fire, right? Man, God is doing wonderful things. And for us, it's always a great, great joy to be able to see the things that God allows us to see. To see from working with young men and just see God begin to set their hearts on fire. So again, you are blessed, right? It doesn't matter this 2026, how great or bad your life is, that you would know that you are blessed. One, because your name is written in the book of life, and the other is that God is still at work, whether you see it or not. So if we are blessed to see these things, how should our life be like, right? In 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God is prepared for those who love him. So I want to take a sharp turn, right? So that's the reflection part of the message. I want to take a sharp turn and talk about maybe we can dream, right? Maybe we can dream. A few weeks ago when Pastor Brandon was preaching in one of the series, he said, let's dream again. Let's dream again, right? Let's dream again. It could be small, it could be big. Let's dream again. So I want us to go to Genesis. Genesis 37. So we'll spend quite a bit of time on Genesis 37, 39, 40, 41, 42, right? So this is a real crash course on the life of Joseph, right? Just to give you a heads up. Genesis 37. So let me read 1 through 11, and then we'll talk about dreams. Joseph, the ultimate dreamer, right? The ultimate dreamer. Genesis 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 5, which is the thing. Now Joseph had a dream. Now Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamt. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamt another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his mother, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Right? So dream. I remember reading this text probably when I was 19, 20, way, way back, right? way back. Just reading it and praying, Lord, give me a dream, right? So can you tell your friend, may God give you a dream, right? Tell your friend, let God give you a dream. So that's my prayer for us. That's our prayer for you, right? That you will have a dream. That you will have a dream. It could be a dream for you, for your family, for your children, for the world. It could be small or big. Dreams for the people you love or lead. I like the 21-day prayer and fasting thing, right? I can tell you as you engage in that, God will do some marvelous things for you and for the people you dream about. Maybe being able to rediscover God's purpose for you, right? Dreams. Dreams of maybe starting a business, of being in ministry, right? So the possibilities are endless. They are endless. And in this particular case, God gave Joseph a dream. I wonder if he even knew that this was a dream from God, right? Because he just had a dream. And in some sense, his father chewed on it, right? He said he kept it in his mind, though he rebuked him. Let me say a few things before we get on. So how do we get dreams? What are some ways by which you can get dreams? Obviously, from this instant, it's from God, though he probably didn't know it. One of the ways that has really been helpful for me is to be around people that dream, right? Be around people that dream. I know we are a church that is almost, we have some really old folks like us here, and we have some really young folks here. We don't have a lot of folks in the middle. It's good for the old folks like us to be with the young folks. Because I tell you, young folks, they have lots of dreams. Lots and lots of dreams. And being associated with them sometimes can awaken different things in you. So be around people who dream. I've been fortunate to be in two or three different groups many times by the end of the week by hearing all these guys share different things that God is doing and moving in their hearts. I pick up some of it, right? I pick up some of it. And for me, it's really been wonderful. The other way is to read books. My dear young men, read books, right? Read books. It's wonderful to read about guys who have gone before us, guys who have persevered in the face of hardship, guys whom God or girls that God is used to do marvelous things. So read. Read the Bible, right? The ultimate dreaming book, right? The ultimate reading book. Read the Bible. You'll be surprised. Right, and the third one, you guys know, I'll put it in there. Pray, right? Pray. For me, it's just been many times marvelous. For some people, they have to pray and be quiet and listen. For me, the way it works is while I'm praying, God is just, it's almost as if he's pumping thoughts into my head. And that's how it's worked for me. So some ways by which you can dream. Let me say this, right? The dream is just the beginning, right? Okay, it's just the beginning. Many times, the bigger challenge is not necessarily the dream, it's what to do with it. Because I don't think many of us are ready to pay the price that it takes to fulfill the dream. And we'll look at that with Joseph. Because fulfilling a dream is painful, right? It's costly. The process will take a while, yeah. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it takes time. It's not an overnight thing for a lot of dreams. It's not an overnight thing. It takes time of God preparing and working in you and all that. Again, it might involve pain and suffering, right? I mean, that's there will be obstacles and pitfalls and challenges and hindrances along the way. I've run into young men and women who are so excited, I want to be a medical doctor, right? I want to be a medical doctor. Then they run into Chem 2. Oh, Jesus, it kills that dream, right? Are they able to make it past Chem 2, Organic 1, Organic 2 just kills them, right? The dream could be alive, but man, it takes work. It takes the ability to be able to persevere. Because the most important thing that God wants for you is not necessarily the dream. That when the dream is finally done and accomplished, that you don't lose yourself, right? That you don't lose yourself. Because I can tell you there are folks who have gone through all of it and they've gone to the mountaintop and there's nothing there. Because they've done it without God. They've done it without his help. They've done it without his grace and mercy and his leading in their lives, right? So those verses, Joseph had a dream. And hopefully, my son was praying for me this morning and said, man, we all have dreams. That's true. Lots and lots of different dreams. So the next sets of just going through it, we want to just spend some time looking at all the obstacles and the challenges and the troubles that God literally put Joseph through, right? That God did put Joseph through so that he could accomplish that dream. And so let's look at verses, again, Genesis 37, verses 18 to 28, right? Verses 18 to 28. Now, when they saw him afar off, so Joseph's dad had asked him to send and some food and to go and check on his brothers because they were shepherds. And so here they saw Joseph coming. Picking up from verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him, right? I mean, these are your brothers, right? These are your brothers. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall see some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Yeah, there are all sorts of things that want to kill your dream. Obviously, the evil one wants to kill whatever dream that God has for your life. But I pray the Lord will watch over you and protect you and keep you, right? And in this case, the Lord delivered him. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, but there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat. Man, what kind of people are this, right? What kind of people are this? What kind of heart they have that you can cast your own brother because of his dreams, right? Because of his dreams. Cast him into a pit, but then you're able to sit down and you're able to eat. Sometimes, I mean, that happens even to us, right? Where our hearts can get so hardened. You know, our hearts can get so hardened that we don't see the damage we do to our family. Many times I would tell my friends, the one way by which God does his work in us is through the people nearest us, our family, our friends, our spouses. Because if you go out there, someone else is something, who cares, right? But from your family, it hurts more. And the sad, sorry thing is, that's the only way God refines us, as painful as it is. But it's incredible, right, that these guys, they want to kill that dream. Yeah, that's their ultimate goal. But thank God, right, thank God that our God, his ways are not our ways, his plans are not our plans, and what he speaks about you, he will fulfill, right? What God says about you, he will do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the obstacles. In this case, they literally want to kill him and kill the dream. But God has his plans. God has his purposes. And so though they tried, somehow it went the way that God had already wanted it to be. 26. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brothers listen. Then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Right. How strange, right? If you were in Joseph's shoes, what would you be thinking, right? They wanted to kill him. They changed their mind. Now let's sell him. Remember, this boy is 17 years old. Right. Let's sell him. But as we'll see throughout Joseph's life, God is at work, right? I mean, that's the key thing. God is at work. Because for a lot of us, when we run into trouble, when we run into challenges, whether of our own doing or not, the first thing we tend to think is that, oh, God must have hated me. God must have not liked me. Oh, I no longer belong to him, But that's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. It's always wonderful and encouraging to know that God is at work, right? That God is beautifully at work, even through all of this. Let's go to 39, Genesis 39. Just two, is it two chapters over? Genesis 39. So 39, 1 through 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Remember verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. First, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So here is Joseph. They brought him to Egypt, and God, again being so gracious, allowed him to be bought by an Egyptian official. And so Joseph is now a slave. But how wonderful that though he's a slave, God has been favorable to him, right? That God allowed him to be able to serve his master beyond anything. One of the things I've heard many times, and lots of my friends tell me, if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much, right? If you worked for whoever you're working for as if it's your own business, God will look at that and bless you down the road, right? And so such an encouragement for me to know that you have to work for, and Joseph worked for this guy as if it was his own business, right? But the key phrase is the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Let's pick up 39, 7 through 12. So, and it ends there by saying that Joseph was handsome in form. Handsome in form. One of the key obstacles to us fulfilling dreams, and this is especially for young people, are sexual temptations. Right? Sexual temptations. It's one of those that we want to be really, really careful about, sexual temptations. It's all over. Growing up, occasionally I'll run into friends who have magazines. I said, man, where did you get this from? Right? Magazines. These days, it's all on your phone, right? A lot of young people, it's all on your phone. Sexual temptations. And that kind of temptation is not different from as if you had just done it, right? I mean, we know what Jesus says about that. So sexual temptations, older men, special sexual temptations, younger women, sexual temptations. It's one of those that can easily mess up your life. All the things you've used your life to build up could come off like that. Recently, there was a story of a coach, right? He makes $5 million a year plus bonuses. It's incredible. $5 million a year plus bonuses. You know what took him out? Sexual temptation, right? You have a wife, you have a kid. Let that be enough for you. And for all of us, in fact, Proverbs 7, I think 26, would say, right, Proverbs 7, 12. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Sexual temptation. Talent alone is not enough. Gifting alone is not enough. And we kind of stretch that to include just character, right? Character for all of us. Character development. And the beautiful thing is God wants to develop our character more than our gifts and our talent. And many times, the only way he does that is to sometimes push us through the mill, right? But man, Joseph stood, right? Joseph stood. Joseph ran. Joseph ran. For a lot of our young men, run, right? Run. Because the end is not worth it, right? The price you pay is not worth it. So run. Older men, run. Figure out a way for your wife to still be attractive to you. Okay, sorry, guys. Because I've crossed that bridge, and literally many times I had to pray, Lord, let my wife still be attractive to me, right? Because she's had three kids. It's no longer the same, right? That's beautiful ashes. Sorry, hopefully that didn't come out too bad, right? right. You know, and it's not the same, right? And if you're not careful, right, and this is true for all of us, I can tell you my dream. Since I turned 50, I've had two dreams. That my life will be impactful, that I will end well. Those are my dreams. Those are ones that I pray for. To have an impactful life and to be able to depart this life without any sense of leaving behind a baggage that is just so hard to clean up, right? But sexual temptations. But man, what a man Joseph was. That he could look at this woman and run. And again, the challenge for all of us young people, run, right? Run as fast as you can. It's better for them to accuse you and to know that you are right than to be the other way around. And so Joseph ran. The price for that is prison, right? 39:16-23. The price for that is prison. And guys, many times you do the right thing. It doesn't necessarily mean you do the right thing that you get the reward, the immediate reward of what you think it should be, right? Our God is not, if you put in A, you get B. And I like many times John will say, yeah, give. The principle of giving is great, right? But because you put in $5 doesn't mean you get 10 back, right? That's not how God works. God has his own unique way of blessing us beyond what we give him. It's quite remarkable. He blesses us beyond what we give him. And so in this case, Joseph 16-23 ended up in prison. But if you look at what the Lord is doing, God is still preparing him, right? Because that's the ultimate goal. God is still preparing. He gave him this dream, but the dream is just the beginning. Because in order for Joseph to be at the point of being able to lead an entire nation, God has to take out his ego. God has to make sure that he can trust him. God has to make sure that when all of that is said and done, that Joseph can still call the God of his fathers, right? And so that's the ultimate goal. The title and whatever he became is just along the way, right? That's minor compared to what the Lord wants for him. So Joseph ends up in prison. And what's so wonderful and beautiful is the story, as it's repeated in Potiphar's house, it shows up again in prison, right? So let me ask you guys this question, right? And it's not a trick one at all. Why was Joseph successful both in prison and in Potiphar's house? What was the phrase? Why was he successful? The Lord was with him, right? The Lord was with him. We spent, 12 weeks going through the Anointed series. And last Sunday when Pastor Brandon preached, there was a phrase he said I couldn't get out of my head. That the anointing is not just for come and go, right? It has to be a daily thing. And you can see in Joseph's life that the Lord being with him is not sporadic, right? Because many times for all of us, that is all it is. I fast for 3 days, I'm wonderful, right? But then I go into the world. I pray for an hour, oh man, that's great. But then I go into the world, right? That anointing can be with you in the workplace. It can be with you on the ball field. And it's important we don't forget that the anointing, as he reminded us last week, it's not just has to be sporadic. It comes and goes. But here it is. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him in prison, in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with him. And so in prison, he did some wonderful things. He helped these two guys who were also prisoners. Chapter 40:23. But the guy forgot him, right? How discouraging that might be. The guy totally forgot him. But he kept at it, right? He kept at it. So let's pick up 41:37-38. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. So just some context. So Pharaoh had had a dream that no one could interpret. And this baker, I think, who had forgotten him, remembered that, oh, there was a slave guy in prison who could interpret dreams. And so in haste, they called Joseph out, they cleaned him up, and here he was. And so he not only interpreted the dream, but he gave them an advice as to what to do. And so 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Right. The power and the presence of God, right, which is all the definition that our folks use for the anointing. The power and the presence of God. Again, not just it comes and goes, right, but something that's there. And this is a king that does not know his God, right, that would say, can we find such a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Do you know you have the Spirit of God? I hope you say yes, right? You know, you have the Spirit of God, right? And for us, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. When I was in college, my roommate would sing a song that I've loved to sing these days. And it goes like this, something more than gold, something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. Right? The Spirit of God in your heart, the power and the presence of God. And what a great advantage we have, right? What a great advantage we have. But it's so sad that a lot of us, we live as if we don't even know Jesus. We live as if he doesn't live inside of us. We live as if we don't know the one true God, right? And this is an Old Testament guy, way, way back then. But even with him, they could see the Spirit and the power of God in his life. And so this totally changes Joseph's life. He went from prison to the palace, as people would say. Just like that, right? Just like that. He went from just a man that was, and then just like that, he's now the prince of Egypt. He became the ruler of Egypt, right? So I want to wrap up, but before I do that, let's look at Genesis 42, 6 to 9, right? Genesis 42, 6 to 9. And this is such a wonderful summary of that dream fulfilled, right? That dream fulfilled. And just to say this, so Joseph was 17. He became a ruler around 30, 31. There was famine for 7 years, right? So between that dream and Joseph seeing the actual fulfillment of his brothers bowing before him, it's at least 20 plus years, right? You know, it's at least 20 plus years. I know God will give lots of you guys many dreams that might take that long. Maybe not even our lifetime, maybe not even our generation. But no matter what ups and downs that God will put you through, right, that you hold on, right, because he is with you, which has been the key thing, that he is with you. So let me read that, 42, 6 to 9. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Man, what a sight to behold. Right. That the dream they tried to kill, right? Remember? The dream they tried to destroy, not knowing that they were instruments of fulfilling that dream. Right. I mean, for a lot of us, many times when people provoke us, we say they are the problem. Maybe, maybe not, right? Maybe God is trying to use them to work in your life, right? Maybe God is trying to use them to refine you, to teach you, to help you to be where he wants you to be. And for a lot of us, we don't have the courage enough to persevere, right? Again, just so beautiful to see that his brothers, they came and bowed before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Verse 9. Then Joseph remembered the dreams, right? He remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." My prayer for us, is that whatever dreams that God gives you and is already giving you, that one day it will come to pass and you will remember that, yes, God has been with me. He's helped me. He's strengthened me. He's been my help. That's our prayer for all of us. So as we wrap up, there's something I want us to do, right? So-called dream cards. Get one if you don't have one, right? Please get one. The idea is that you would share this with a friend, someone that you are in relationship with. Ideally, if you are a male, another male friend. If a female, another female friend. Just a dream card, right? Ideally, that you would take a look at this. So the first part, blessed to see, right? So that's the reflection. Some things that God is done for you this past year. See, it doesn't have to be long, right? So just a reflection. What have you seen God do for you? What have you seen God do for your family? What have you seen God do in the lives of the folks that you are in relationship with, right? So that's big. And then there I have room for three different dreams, right? A few weeks ago, I was praying with a brother, and he made this comment. And the comment was that, what is one thing you want God to do for you, right? Just write it down, right? It doesn't have to be, for a lot of us, when we had our kids were younger, a lot of the dream was, Lord, help us be able to train them to love you, right? It might be as simple as that. Maybe the dream was that your marriage will be a little better this year, right? It's a dream. Maybe a dream was that a friend I met with on Mondays the other day was telling me, Lord, I want to know what my purpose is, right? Pastor Brandon talks about that. It might be something as simple as that, right? But before God, it's not simple, right? And so there's some dreams to write, right? In fact, one of these verses that Pastor Brandon quotes quite a bit, Habakkuk 2:2, right? Write the vision, make it plain. So write it down, right? And then hopefully share with a friend, share with a colleague, so that you guys can just be able to hold each other accountable in a way that, see, oh, how is that thing going, right? There's a friend, again, we pray on Monday, and I share different things that I'm thinking of when we get together to pray. He said, oh, Eric, how is that thing going? I said, oh, no, you know, let me pray for you to keep at it, right? Let me pray for you to keep at it. So my wife will come pray for us. Before she does that, let me just read this last verse, right? You go all the way to Genesis 50:20, right? All the way to Genesis 50:20. And this is Joseph almost summarizing everything that God is taking him through. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful verse. In fact, many people think the other side of that verse is Romans 8:28, right? And this is Joseph. So at this point, his father had died. His brothers came back and bowed before him. They were scared that he was going to pay them back. But this is what he said. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. That's the ultimate for all our dreams, right? That's the ultimate. That it doesn't matter all the different things that God takes us through, the people that help us along the way, the ones that are mean to us along the way, that will keep this in mind, right? That ultimately God's plan, God's dream is to use us to bring others to come and know him, you know? So, hey, great. Can you please stand? My wife will pray for us and we'll be gone. So, wonderful. Thank you, guys.